you're all listening, shout amen. Well, we can do better than that. Amen. Outside these doors over here on a table are the four Bibles that will be presented to our graduates next Sunday morning. What we're asking you to do is to mark. There's highlighters out there. Highlight your favorite Bible verse. And there's a sticky note out there. Write on that sticky note why that Bible verse is your favorite. Please put that in the Bibles, because our graduates are going to know that they are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses who use God's Word every day in their lives. And those Bibles will become very meaningful to them as the years go by. And so I hope that you'll take the time to do that. You'll have the rest of today and then next Sunday morning, and then during the church service next Sunday, we're going to honor our graduates and what a special time that is. And let me also say, after service next Sunday, we're going to be having, I believe it's a hot dog lunch downstairs in the fellowship hall following the worship service. And so you mark your calendars. This is a very special time in the life of our church, and we hope you all be there. Well, let me ask you to begin finding the Old Testament book of Malachi. And if you know where Matthew is, just go back one book, because Malachi is the last book in the Bible. And the title of the message this morning is, What Honors God and Inspires People? That's the question we're going to explore this morning, and we're going to answer. And as we begin this morning, I want to ask you, how many of you remember Michael Jordan? If you remember Michael Jordan, just raise your hand this morning. Most people remember Michael Jordan. Who was he? What did he do? He was a basketball player. He was a man who strove for excellence among his peers in basketball. Nobody worked harder at becoming a champion than Michael Jordan. Teams would do all they could to stop him from beating them. And there was a team by the name of the Detroit Pistons. They still around, but back there during that time, they had what was known as the Jordan rules. They were rules given to them by their coach. And their coach said, every time that Michael Jordan drives down the paint, knock him down, fall him hard. Make certain that you just give him a little bit of pain. Make him think twice about trying to come down the lane and score. And they could not stop him. He'd just get up off the deck and down the lane he'd come again. And Michael Jordan's pursuit of excellence among his peers led him and the Chicago Bulls to 6 National Basketball Association titles. He was everything to that team. And there was commercials on television trying to persuade a generation of children, be like Mike. They created gym shoes called Air Jordans. And parents would run out and they'd buy these Air Jordans, and their young children, young men, even old men would put them on, thinking that they could fly to the basket and dunk that basketball over their vanquished opponents. Michael Jordan's excellence inspired his teammates to become better players. And 2 of his teammates followed him into the Hall of Fame after their retirement. But I don't know whether Michael Jordan is a Christian or not. So why am I bringing up Michael Jordan this morning? To ask this question of us. Why are we so willing to go to great lengths striving for excellence in the things that have no lasting eternal reward? When Michael Jordan stands before God, just as you and I will one day, and God said to him, Michael, why should I let you in to my heaven? How important are those 6 National Basketball Association championships going to be then? I want you to think through this with me for just a moment. What's your greatest achievement? What is it that you're striving for excellence in? What is it that you spend your most time doing? If you've got your Bible open to Malachi chapter 1, would you please rise with me as we honor the Lord with the reading of His Word? Malachi chapter 1, verse 1. The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. Drop down to verse 6. A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is mine honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priests that despise my name. And ye say, wherein have we despised thy name? Ye offer polluted bread upon mine altar, and ye say, wherein have we polluted thee? In that ye say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And if ye offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if ye offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it up now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee or accept thy person, saith the Lord of hosts? And now I pray you, beseech God that he will be gracious unto us. This hath been by your means. Will he regard your persons, saith the Lord of hosts. Will you bow with me in prayer? Father God, we just thank you for the blessing of this day. Lord, the very fact that we are gathered here this morning is evidence that you are a God who is ever faithful. Lord, you are a God who hears our prayers. You are a God who answers our prayers. But Lord, you're also a God who searches the hearts and minds of men and women just like us. And this morning, Father, you've given us a message that you might search us, that you might cause us to ask ourselves some questions to help us see us as you might see us. Lord, may your Spirit descend upon this congregation and this pastor this morning. May your will be done in this church. May you be lifted up and glorified. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people said, amen. God wants to ask us this morning this question: does God get your best or just your leftovers? Does God get your best or just your leftovers? The book of Malachi begins with some very curious wording. You see it there in verse 1. The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. Well, what was Malachi's burden? His burden was the task God had given him of confronting God's people over their sins. And you know something? Folks don't like to be confronted over their sins any more in our day than they did in Malachi's day. Folks like to be told they're doing good even if they're doing bad. And especially so in our day. After all, their bad isn't, they're doing isn't as bad as somebody else is doing. And so why pick on me? Well, the Apostle Paul prophesied about our day. And this is what the Apostle Paul had to say about the day that you and I are living in right now. He said, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Those itching ears he refers to means folks will want to be told they're doing good no matter what they're doing. Don't preach about sin, Pastor. After all, I don't want the Holy Spirit of God to touch my heart, to cause me to feel guilty over what I might be doing. I don't want to feel the conviction of sin. Don't preach on sin. Don't preach God's truth, because the truth of God is like a white hot light. It shines bright. It's like a sword that sticks in, and it'll expose me for what I'm doing. I don't want to feel that. Pastor, don't preach that way. Well, that was the climate of Malachi's day. And not much has changed. Because that's the climate of today as well. And so God gave Malachi the burden of the word of the Lord, and he was to go and to give it to Israel. Malachi called it a burden because the message he was going to give wasn't going to be too popular. And that may be the case this morning as well. And if it is, I hope you would understand that God is giving us this message for the very same reason he had Malachi give the message to Israel. It is God's desire to restore us unto a right relationship with him. How about this? You might not be doing as well in your Christian walk as you think you are. Now, I want you to note verse 6 of our text. Because Malachi informs the people that God has an offense against them. And what if I were to tell you this morning that God might have an offense against you? Would your mind begin to race as it did in the days of Malachi when he was giving that message? The people were trying to figure out what it was that they could have possibly done. They couldn't figure out what possible offense God could have against any of them. And I'll wager that same thing is going on here this morning in your own mind. The Israelites asked God's prophet, "What did we do?" And speaking on behalf of God, the prophet responds, "What did you do? You know the laws about making sacrifices. You know that you ought to go into your herds and select the best, most valuable, most prized lamb from your flock for your offering to God. But instead of doing what you know to do, you are heading out into your fields, intentionally overlooking your top sheep, your top lambs in the herd. And rather than selecting your prized lamb, you look for the one that's sick, blind, lame, dead, leaning against the fence, ready to keel over. And that's the one you grab, and that's the one you rush to the altar with before it dies, thinking, well, it'll do. After all, it's only for God." God's law required that only perfect animals, animals without blemish, be offered to God. The Mosaic law clearly stated, if his offering be a burnt offering of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own voluntary will at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. And they were not doing this. They weren't doing it. And two groups of people shared in the blame. Both the parishioner and the priest. You see, the priest had a responsibility to uphold the word of God by teaching the people to the best of his ability what the word of God has to say, what the word of God wants to do in our lives. And that same thing still holds true for any pastor of any church. You see, the word of God says to us, Hebrews 13:17, "Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you." Well, what does that mean? It means that one day, as your pastor, I'm going to stand before Almighty God and give an account for what you brought to the Lord during my time of shepherding this congregation. And if I fail to bring my best and strive for excellence, well, not only won't I inspire you, but God will have something against me come judgment day. Likewise, the verse points out that you have a responsibility before the Lord as well to bring your best. And if you fail to bring your best to the Lord, God could have something against you as well. Not in the sense that we're going to lose our salvation. But friends, God has reward for those who obey God's will. And the Bible reminds us, 2 John 8, take heed that you receive a full reward. And so one day you're going to stand before God, and God's going to judge. And one day I'm going to stand before God, and I'm going to give an account for y'all. Because that's what the Bible says. These priests in Malachi's day were allowing the people to offer blind, lame, and sick animals to God. To put it bluntly, these pastors, these priests, were not fulfilling their calling. And so God accused them of dishonoring him, and rightly so, because they were allowing the people to dictate and allowing the people to come and offer that which was unworthy before God. And God wanted Malachi to go and give him a pep talk, so to speak, and to warn his people on the dangers of an improper heart attitude. You know, I have to giggle to myself sometimes, because sometimes after I've preached, I'll be standing at the back door and somebody will come by and say, well, you really stepped on my toes this morning, Pastor. Well, friends, I want you to know I don't care anything about your toes. I care about your heart, because God cares about your heart. God could care less about your toes, but he sure does care about the heart, amen? And so I just try to do what God does. God loves the heart of people. I love the heart of people. And you want the heart of people to be right with God, amen? Now, if I said that right, say amen. Thank you. I need a little encouragement from time to time, too. And so remember, the people's attitude was, what's the difference? It's only for God. That's a poor attitude, wouldn't you agree? But note, it must have been the priest's attitude as well. Or else they were just plain unwilling to speak the truth of God's word in love. I don't know which it was, but I do know this. Almighty God was not pleased with his priest or his people. So Malachi told them, listen, this is what God says. Don't even bother to start the fire. Don't even waste your time. I don't want the sick, the lame, and blind, and almost dead lamb. What a mockery that is to me. Either bring the best or bring nothing at all. Can you imagine? Try to picture this, if you will. It's just you and God, you're sitting there. And God says, listen, brother or sister, don't bother. Just don't bother. Because what you're bringing is half-hearted service. What you're bringing is just your leftovers. What you're giving to me is just what little bit. But you're more focused on yourself than you are on me. You don't really worship me. All you're doing is just giving a token, just so you don't have to feel guilty. Do you imagine receiving a rebuke like that from the Lord? Listen to what God commands and what God's requirement is for New Testament Christians just like us. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, friends, this may be a revelation for some of you, but God still requires a sacrifice in this age of grace. We are not under the law, but a Christian under grace ought to be compelled by the grace of God to live as a living sacrifice unto God. Now remember, the Old Testament sacrifice was to be the very best of each man's herd. He was to bring his best lamb, and he was to offer that sacrifice. And all of the Old Testament sacrifices were pointing to the perfect sacrifice, that perfect lamb who would pay the sin, the price of sin for all mankind. You see, in the Old Testament days, the Old Testament saints looked forward to the work that Christ was going to do on the cross. We New Testament saints, we look back to the work that Christ did on the cross, but in every age, man is saved by grace. Genesis 6:8, Noah found grace in the eyes of God. Every age. So all the Old Testament saints were looking forward to what Jesus was going to do on the cross. All their sacrifices were pointing to the Lamb of God who would take away the sins of the world. Did God offer us a second-rate lamb? No, God gave His very best, His one and only begotten Son. The best that God had, He gave for us. And God expects the best that we have to be given to Him. And the Bible says, and that He died for all, that they who live should no longer henceforth live unto themselves, but unto Him who died for them and rose again. Listen, Jesus saved our sorry souls, amen? Jesus came down, He reached down from heaven, He was lifted up on that cross, He bled and He died and He rose again, hallelujah to the Lamb of God, and that's the only hope of heaven we have. When we look at this, we were to ask this question. Does this mean then that sacrifices are no longer required? No. You see, God still expects us to offer a sacrifice, except now it has moved from the best of our lambs directly to us. Our bodies, our lives are to be given as a living sacrifice, one that is holy, one that is acceptable. And God says that's reasonable service. Friends, it isn't a one-time event, but it's an ongoing process every day of our lives. We are to strive for excellence in our personal lives. We are to strive for excellence. You know, we got to get away from this mentality where our Christian stuff is over here. Then we got our high school stuff over here. Well, I'm way up there now. I'm way out of high school. Then we got our personal life here. We got our whatever over here. And we got something else over here. No, we got to be a Christian no matter where we're at. We're called to be the light of the world, the salt of the earth. We're to strive for excellence. In other words, we're to strive to be that light, that living sacrifice that God has told us to be in order that we might make a difference. I don't know where we ever got the idea. We have these little cubicles of different things that we do because Jesus was never like that. Paul wrote, "And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord. And not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ." Are you serving the Lord Christ? Or are you serving yourself most of the time? Well, what does that look like when it pertains to you and me? Now we got to think about this. Because if we give to God only our leftover time, money, and energy, what are we doing as a New Testament Christian? We're engaging in the same sin that the worshipers of Malachi's day were. We're committing the same sin. You see, they didn't want to bring anything of value to God. Heaven's sakes, let's not give God something that's valuable. That was their heart attitude. And how do we know? Because it was reflected in their actions. And their actions reflected what they really thought of God. You see, what they brought to God for worship revealed the condition of their heart. And what they failed to realize, and what many Christians fail to realize, is that what we give to God reflects the true nature of our hearts. For example, when we fritter away our time pursuing our own interests, our own pleasures, without regard for what God desires from us when it comes to worshiping God, we sin. We say, God, I can't do what your word commands me to do because I just don't, plain just don't want to sacrifice my time. Well, let's be clear. We're going to look at this from a scriptural perspective. What is God's will for the New Testament Christian when it comes to worship? And I want you all to know, you're here this morning, so you're going to pass this one. But you all better pay attention. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and all the more, so much the more as you see the day approaching. What is the day that is approaching? The coming of the Lord Jesus, the rapture. Don't forget to assemble. Listen, you are either an encourager in the body of Christ or you're a discourager in the body of Christ. How do you know the difference? When you're here, you encourage others. When you're not here, you discourage others. And so it is very important. I can't tell you the number of times I stand at the back door and somebody will come back and say, Pastor, where's so-and-so? And sometimes I just feel like saying in Christian love now, well, I guess they just plain decided to be a discourager to the body today. But I don't say that. Boy, do I have to bite my tongue. Friends, you have a responsibility to the body. I have a responsibility to the body. Where am I to be on Sunday morning? I'm to be in the house of the Lord, and not because I'm the preacher. One time I told my wife, I don't want to get out of bed. I don't want to go. She said, you got to get out of bed. I said, nope. I'm tired of that old preacher. I just don't want to go listen to him today. She shook me a little harder. She said, honey, you are the preacher. And so I had to be there. But listen, our responsibility is to be in the house of the Lord. Fathers, you have a responsibility to set that tone in your family for your wife. Don't let her talk you out of being where you're supposed to be. You're called to be the spiritual leader of the home. Dads and moms, we have a responsibility to our children. We are to guide and nurture them and build them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. If we're derelict in our duty, what are the chances of our children succeeding in honoring God? See, we don't have to look too far to understand why we're living in a pagan society today and not a Christian society. Why I heard this morning of a baccalaureate service at Lebanon High School where the staff of the school left and most of the parents and children left before the message was preached at baccalaureate. That ought to make us all cry. Shouldn't surprise us why we're living in a world that doesn't want to hear the word of the Lord. Now, how many of you would agree it is a sacrifice to come to worship, especially when you've got something you want to do? But God says we're to present our bodies as a living what? Sacrifice. And part of that sacrifice applies to time and worship. Another example would be the tithe. God's word says, clearly teaches that a tithe is 10%. It was 10% before the law because Abraham gave 10% as an act of grace giving. And then God included it in the Mosaic law as the standard or the rule, if you will. And God says concerning the tithe, Leviticus 27 and 32, and concerning the tithe of the herd or of the flock, even of whatsoever passeth under the rod, the tenth shall be holy unto the Lord. You need to understand something about the tithe. You aren't given to the church. You're given to the Lord. And the Lord says that first tenth is holy unto Him. You know, a lot of people in our day think, well, when we give, we just give into the church. No, you're not. You're giving to God. And you're to give because that first tenth is holy. And I want to tell you something. You'll do far better on 90% of your income than you will do on 100% of your income. And we know that God loves a cheerful giver. And not a grudging giver, not a stingy giver, and not a reluctant giver. God loves a cheerful giver. And so if we try and give God less than what He requires, or we give Him what He does require, and we say, there, Lord, there it is, God's not honored by that. Not at all. In essence, what we're doing when we don't give that first tenth that God says is holy unto him, we're saying, God, we can't trust you. Which really is kind of stupid, don't you think? Because when you die, you're all trusting God to take you home to heaven. I mean, I've never had somebody come up to me and say, well, when I die, I just want to go to hell. No, we all want to go home to heaven. You mean to tell me we can trust God when we die to take us home to heaven, but you can't trust God to one dime out of every dollar? That don't make no sense at all, does it? Not at all. And what we're saying when we do that is, Lord, you can't be trusted to supply our needs, and so, Lord, we can't give you what is rightfully yours because then we might not have enough for us. I might have to do without. But again, God says we're to present our bodies as a living what? Is it a sacrifice to give? Can be. But if we love God, whether we have much or little, we will do what God asks, because not to do so is to sin against God. And if we give God less than what he requires, what are we doing? The same thing the Jews were doing in Malachi's day. You see, those sick, lame, blind animals weren't going to be able to be sold for any money. Which one of you would say, would go out and buy a sick, lame, blind animal? From a practical standpoint, it made perfect sense to the Jews to keep the best animals for themselves and sacrifice the unwanted ones. But in today's parlance, we could say, if we could compare it to using our money for what we want and then giving God a pittance. After all, it's only for God. God says this. Same thing happens when it comes to our service for the Lord. God says, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And today many people are unwilling to use their God-given gift in service to the Lord because it will infringe on their time. The burden of Malachi was informing God's people that God had something against them. And God is speaking through his prophet Malachi, through his word to his church this morning. And the church is made up of people. And God people need to consider what God might have against you. Could God have something against you? Yes. Possible God could have three things against us this morning. And since together we make up his church, God could have something against his church. You know, sometimes people like to say, and they'll say something like this, and they say, well, it doesn't seem like God's blessing me anymore. It doesn't seem like God's blessing the church anymore. It appears to them as if God is not blessing them in their lives. Have you ever heard that? And so you realize it just might be they are missing God's blessings because God has something against them. You see, it might be that they're chasing after things that have no eternal value at all, like Michael Jordan's 6 National Basketball Association championships. He invested all of his time, all of his talent and energy into something that has no eternal value whatsoever. And we need to ask ourselves, what are we chasing? Does God get our best? Or just our leftovers? Are we honoring God with our time? Are we honoring God with our tithe? Are we honoring God with our service? What the priest and people of Malachi's day failed to realize is they weren't honoring God at all. They were just going through the motions. They were having church, but God wasn't in the building, because they refused to give God their very best. God deserves our very best because He gave His very best lamb for us. Is God getting your best? What's the answer to the title question of the message? What honors God and inspires people? God is honored when you and I make the choice to be the living sacrifice that He's required us to be. When we put God first and all the rest of it second. Wow, that's scriptural too. Matthew 6:33. What did Jesus say? Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all the other things will be added unto you. The reason so many people are struggling today is because they're trying to do all the other things without putting God first. Friends, you got it backwards. You got to put God first. God is honored when we make the choice. And that's the choice you get to make today. It's the choice you'll get to make tomorrow. And if God gives you another day, every day, day after day, you're going to wake up out of bed and you're going to have to make the choice. Will I be that living sacrifice today? God is honored when we choose to live our lives in a way that honors Him. And God uses our example to inspire and encourage others in the body of Christ to honor God. You see, it only takes a little spark to get a fire going. When I see Brother Derek, or any of you, serving God, pouring his heart out teaching a Sunday school lesson, it inspires me. It encourages me. When I see my deacons going out making calls at a hospital or in the homes, I get inspired, I get encouraged, because then I know I'm not in this all alone. When I see Sister Gwen running around rallying up a choir, boy, that encourages me. When Brother Marty gets up here and leads us in singing, boy, what a wonderful thing that is. It encourages us. But guys, when we make the choice to be the living sacrifice, when we choose to put God first, you know what else we're doing? We're proving our love for God. We're proving our love for God. We're demonstrating His trust and our trust in His provision. You see, you might be up against it. Maybe you lost your job. I don't know. You might be up against it financially because maybe you've overspent. But you know what is holy unto the Lord, so we're without excuse. We don't have an excuse not to do what God has told us to do. But when we give, God honors that. Because we're telling God, God, I don't know the answer to this situation. I don't understand how I got myself in this situation, but I know that you can get me out of this situation, so I'm going to honor you. God is honored when we give Him our best. People in Malachi's day were not honoring God, nor were they inspiring others to honor God. Michael Jordan won 6 National Basketball Association championships, but friends, he inspired no one to honor God. You want to know why that is? You cannot inspire others to do what you yourself are not doing. You need to go out and be an inspiration to others. You need to go out and let your light shine. You need to be faithful. You need to be a living sacrifice. Now, you know that's what you need to be. I'm not telling you anything you don't know. I'm just reminding you of what God has said. Amen? So ask yourself 3 questions as we close. Are you honoring God by being the living sacrifice God has asked you to be? Are you inspiring, encouraging others to honor God in this body of Christ? And what has to change in your life so that you could be a person who would be honoring God as the Bible teaches? And we've only talked about 3 areas. Be a living sacrifice. Give God your best, not your leftovers. Father God, we just thank you for your word unto us today. And Lord, you search the hearts and minds of every person. And if the Holy Spirit of God has spoken to your heart today, be encouraged to come when we stand and sing and to repent. Because God is interested in your restoration. And the Bible has given us a wonderful promise. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, we thank you that the blood that saves us is the blood that cleanses us as we walk in this world today. And Lord, as we walk, help us to obey, to trust and obey. There's no better way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.